1 John 5, verses 1 to 5 tonight. 1 John 5, 1 to 5. What a book about love, real love, and living out your love. The book of 1 John. God is love. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, believes means trust in, cling to, rely on. You believe in the inner being that Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem, is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Savior. He is born of God. The one that believes that is born of God. So that's pretty clear about who is born again. That person is born again. They're made spiritually alive and indwelt with the Holy Spirit and are a new creation. God's love sending Jesus so a person can be born again. You know, Jesus said in John 3:3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No inheritance in heaven. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Let's turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. We're told here, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right, the privilege, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, the Christ, Jesus, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. See, Jesus right here was really quoting this because John tells us here that everybody is born of blood and of the will of the flesh. That's the way we're born naturally. But he said, he gave the right to become children of God to who? Those that believe in his name. And those that are not born of the will of man, but of God. So here we read there's two types of birth. There's one birth where we're born of blood and the will of man. That's our first physical birth. We don't have any choice where we're born. We can't pick and choose. But then he's telling us you can be born of God. Once you're alive, you can be born of God. And to those people that are born of God, he gives the right to become children of God because you believe in Jesus. And Jesus said you must be born again or you're not going to see heaven. Now, so we believers are born again. We're born of God. And he is love, and we love God. I think we would all say we love God. I don't think we'd be able to say we don't love God. You know, children, when they're angry at you, when they're very young, you do something, you punish them, you discipline them, they say, I hate you. But they don't mean it, do they? Because they're ready to go back on with their life, and all of a sudden they need you and love you, and that's all forgotten. But we don't ever want to say to God, I hate you. Or I don't love you. We love God because we're born of God and God is love. And we love God. We who love God should love those that are his children. It says in verse 1, everyone who loves him, God, who begot them, also loves him who is begotten of him. So we should also love all those that are born again. So if you're born of God, you love God, but you also should love all those that are born again. Christians should never hate each other. You should love one another. Love is the sign of the Christian. God talks a lot about love, and the sign of a disciple is love, and God is love, and how we are to love one another. 1 John is full of that. You see, God wanted the church. His desire and still is for the church that these people call Christians really are one family unit and love each other. He wants us to love one another and stay close as family. Should have loved one another. The thing we have in common, and we don't have this in common with anybody else but Christians, where we have Jesus as our center and we love one another because we're children of God. In verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. When we love God and we keep His commandments, we know that we love God's children. We love God and we love His children. How do we know that? Because we love God's children. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. And Jesus say in John 13:35? He said, by this all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So that's His command, that you'll have love for one another. And so He says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep His commandments. When He said that you are to love one another, we keep that commandment, and that's how we love the children of God. Sometimes it's hard to love someone that's unlovable, isn't it? Oh, that's hard. Isn't it easy to love people that are lovable? It's easy to love people that are lovable and just like you. It's easy to love people that are lovable just like you and agree with you on everything. And it's easy to love people that are just like you and also love you and the things you do and are involved in. You know, we can keep going on. There's like these conditions that we really love this person because they're just like us. But there are some people that aren't like us. There are some people that are a lot different. There are some people with different personalities that talk a little different, act a little different. But they're Christians. There's even some Christians that kind of get us edgy or don't feel comfortable around because we are of the flesh a lot. But we love God by keeping His commandments, and one of His commandments is that we love one another. So what do we do in that case when it's kind of hard to be a person that's a Christian, but just like you're so different? You pray that God will let that love in you be stirred up and you love them. The only way you can love people that are unlovable or not like you is to pray that God would give you the strength to love that person unconditionally. And you know what's a quick way to do that? Start praying for them. That's what Jesus said. Pray for those that hurt you and spitefully use you. And when you start praying for them, well, then you realize you're the same and you're Christians, and you got to love them. And it should be because we want to love them. And we keep His commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments to love one another. Now, the fruit of the Spirit of love. Not all people like Christians. Never mind love them. There's a lot of people that don't like Christians. But we Christians are to love Christians. We're family. We don't ever want to let the world see us hating each other, disliking one another. And this love for God and other believers isn't like a forced love or something we work at. We love because the love of God is in our hearts. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we love others. We've been going over this on Sundays in the book of Ephesians. You know, we should love to love. We're the problem when we don't. They're not the problem. They're the problem. They're just like me, or they always disagree with me. They're not the problem. You can disagree. You can be totally different. But there's no excuse for not loving them. You can hate their sin, but there's no excuse for not loving them. You see? We need to be united. And So it's not a forced level. Okay, God said to do it. I'm going to love that person. And you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to work. I don't like these people there, but I'm going to love them because I know they're a Christian. I'm just going to love them today. And I'm just not going to argue with them or get back at them. It should. If it's that way, then we need to pray for us. Our first thought is we've got to pray for them so that I can love them a little easier. Make them like me, God, so I can love them. Our first reaction when there's a problem in a relationship is, I'll pray for them. I'll pray them to change, and then they'll be just conformed into my image. That's easy to pray for them, isn't it? To change or to be different so I can get along with them. The real problem is, you remember it said Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners? He didn't say, if they change, I'll love them and I'll die for them. He goes, I'll die for them because I love them. So we need to pray, God, help me. There's a good prayer for us all tonight, tomorrow morning. God, help me to love the unlovable. Change my heart, oh God. Or sing that song, Change My Heart, Oh God. That's really the prayer. Lord, change my heart. Let me get along with them. And you know what? God will change you because that's a prayer that he wants to do. And the next time you see them, you'll be totally different. And they'll be wondering, what is wrong with you? What do you want out of me? Why are you so nice to me? We know we love God because we love his children. By this all will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, Jesus said. And it shouldn't be forced. It should be a fruit of the Spirit. We quench the Spirit a lot because we get in the flesh. And we don't do what we're supposed to do because we let our flesh get in the way. You know, it's possible to think you're right on with the Lord and yet quench the Spirit and not let the love just flow. And it's not because they're lovable or they changed or whatever. Some people think their answer to prayer is, well, God finally changed this person. Praise the Lord, he answered our prayer on Wednesday night. And God's saying, yeah, but you haven't changed yet. You're going to run across somebody else that's not like you. You see? It's us. We need to pray that we don't quench the Spirit and we let God's love flow. So our love for God is displayed by keeping, notice this, by keeping his commandments, loving the children of God, by keeping his commandments. Let's turn to John 15, verse 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, and he puts it at the end of it, as I have loved you. Not just, okay, I love them. He says, as I love you. We love others just like Jesus loved us. John 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He says, the one who loves me is the one who has my commandments and keeps them. And he is the one who really loves me and will be loved by my Father. There's a born-again person. He will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself known to him. He who has my commandments and keeps them. You see, in 1 John 5, verse 2, it says, and we keep his commandments. Our love and obedience to God's word and commandments is an expression of our love for him. We are to be obedient to God and obey and keep his commandments. A person who doesn't keep God's word or keep his commandments does not truly love God. Jesus just said that in John 14. He who says he loves me and keeps my commandments. We can't walk out of here, out of church at any time, hear these messages, and go home or to work or to play or to school and not have love for others, not have forgiveness, not let the fruit of the Spirit be displayed, not obey the commandments of the Lord. If we do that, what we learned or what we profess here doesn't mean a thing if we don't keep his commandments out there. We have to keep his commandments. Our obedience displays our love for God. It's like our Father, and he's our Father in heaven, saying to us, hey, don't do that if you love me. That's really what he's saying. Or do this if you love me. Love, forgive. We need to keep God's word. The theme of the Bible is not what we say, but what we do. It's all about what we do. And we're challenged every day to do it. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's not enough to say, Jesus, Jesus, I love you, or God, I love you. He says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, in that day. He says, but not everyone who says that is going to enter into heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There are going to be a lot of people surprised that instead of being, when they die in the presence of the Lord, they're going to be awaiting judgment because they didn't really know the Lord and they thought they did. It's by keeping his commandments. You know, and God's word and Jesus gave us a lot of commandments. Love one another, love your enemies, forgive, do not worry, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Abide in me, follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross. We can go on and on, and God has so many commandments, but we need to obey them. It says, if you love me, if you're mine, then you keep my commandments. You obey them. Now, people think of that and they say, wow, Christianity is hard. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. God has a lot of commandments and we follow them. And here's the way they are, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, he reiterates it, we must keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And people act like they're burdensome. Oh, a bunch of do's and don'ts, it's so hard. What is, when you think about it, what is hard about keeping his commandments? Well, it's just an attitude that I'm going to do it. If he says, forgive, I forgive. If he says, love, I love. If he says, don't worry, I don't worry. Don't steal, I don't steal. Don't commit murder, I don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery, I don't commit adultery. All those things we went over in Ephesians Sunday, no fornicator or this or that, or all people that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We don't do those things. We do the things that God says to do. What really is hard about that? Not hard at all. If you're going somewhere far and you go on MapQuest and you print it out, or you just use the GPS in the car, if you want to get to that point called heaven, what do? You just obey the commands. Well, it's not hard, is it? He says, my commandments are not burdensome yet. It's like when you tell somebody to do something, all of a sudden they feel, oh, man, that's hard. Or else they say, oh, I don't want to do that because they told me to do it. That's an attitude of people. And God says, don't do this or do this. But it's not burdensome. It's for our benefit. Because he said, I want you to have a good life. I want you to be healthy inside, not all churning with stress and anxiety. I want you to be free. I don't want to give you burdens. I want to take them away. And the way you're going to do it is by just obeying me. Do you think that worry is good for our health? Not good for our health. Why do you think he says, don't worry, but pray about everything? And he says, I know if you worry, you're going to not be healthy. So his commandments aren't burdensome. It isn't difficult. And it's not difficult to love somebody. God is love. He loves us. He displayed his love. And we should keep those commandments, love one another, and keep his commandments for our benefit. We need to know this, that God's thoughts toward us are good, not bad. God's not out to cheat you and I out of life. A lot of people think he is. He's not wanting to cheat young people out of life. He wants to bless them. So he says, hey, don't do this. Live this way. Worship me. Obey me. You'll be blessed. Trust me. He's not out to cheat people out of life. He came. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, you want a life? Come to me. I'll give you life. He's concerned with us, our spiritual well-being, with our health. He loves us. And many people think God's against them or trying to cheat them out of life. The fact is, he wants to give us life and eternal life in heaven. And his commandments are not burdensome. That word means grievous or weighty. They are given to lift us up and not burden us down. When I take a task upon myself, I'm burdened down. When the Lord says, just trust me, I'll work it out, I'm lifted up. They're given to lift us up, to lighten our load. It's so hard for us to believe that God wants us to have a great, peaceful, easy life. Because we're trained to work for what we get. You know, that we stress and strain and we've got to do it. Jesus said, who desires to seek his life is going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to save it. You know, he came to relieve us of burdens, not be weighed down. He says, trust me, seek me first in the kingdom of God. I'll add all these other things to you. He said, trust me. I'll take care of you. You know, do your part. I'll tell you what to do. But trust me, I don't want you to worry about it and you to be burdened down, because then your worship of me suffers. You don't go to church. You don't read your Bible. You don't worship God. You don't pray. You're distracted in your mind with other things. He says, I don't want that. Martha, Martha, why are you running around doing all this stuff, waiting on me? I'm not going to be here very long. Sit down at my feet and listen. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us distracted. He wants us focused on him and blessed. We're his children. He wants to lighten our load. They're not burdensome. They may be difficult, challenging times when we obey them. Maybe heartfelt, but they're good. They're easy to do. When we obey them, people may not like us, may call us names, may challenge us, misunderstand us, cause some problems. But they're not difficult to obey. We don't like to go through that hardship. But they're to help us if we let him direct our life. His commands are not burdensome. Our flesh may not want to obey them, but they're not burdensome. John 8:36, who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Jesus sets us free. What happens in our life to put burdens on us is that we don't always trust the Lord, and we take things upon ourselves, and we carry a load that God hasn't asked us to carry. We are not made to carry burdens. We're not made that way. We're not God. You see, Matthew 6, let's turn to Matthew 6, please. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Uh-oh, we can't worry about tomorrow. And I was hoping to figure it out tonight. And now you made me read this. And now I can't worry about tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to be convicted of sin if I do. Isn't it great to have those words here? So I can just say, well, I have to obey the word of the Lord. I guess I can't go home worry. I'm going to have to get a good night's rest. Oh, well. But that's what he says. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, I'll get up after midnight and it'll be tomorrow. Then I can worry about the next day. No, just don't worry. Philippians 4, please. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything with thanksgiving. See, that's not, doesn't sound like the Lord puts burdens on us. It sounds like he wants to take them off. See, God wants us to be overcomers, conquerors. Born again Christians are overcomers. Back to our text, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Born again Christians are overcomers over the world, the flesh, and the devil if we obey God's commands. We live in the world, but as we read, we're not of it. We're not of the world. We live in it, but we're not of it. We've overcome it. We've overcome it. We're more than conquerors, we're told, through Christ Jesus. People in the world are burdened down because they are taken up with the things of the world. And it's up to them to maintain it, to get it, and the pressure is on to build one's life. That's the world. We're overcomers. We don't want pressure and burdens. We're different than people in the world. That's why it's good to be around Christians. When you get around the world, you start thinking like the people of the world. Fleshly. Not counting on God. Our faith in God and Jesus makes us overcomers. God will take care of us. A simple believer is an overcomer and should never be burdened down. Do any of you ever remember that picture of Atlas who had the world in his hands? Picture this strong guy with the world in his hands. Whenever I read these verses about being burdened down, where Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. I think of us trying to be Atlas and, hey, who's going to take care of the world if I don't? Who's going to make things right if I don't? Who's going to heal things if I don't? Man, I got a big job like Atlas. And the Lord is saying, hey, I have the whole world in my hands. I don't need your help. I can handle it. Chill out. My God has the whole world in his hands and he doesn't need our help. He's just saying, don't burden yourself down. You should be more than a conqueror. So we read in verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So, first of all, in verse 4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How are we victorious? How are we overcomers? By our faith. We simply believe all of God's word. That's why he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because if we keep his commandments, we won't worry. We will love one another. We will pray about everything. We'll do all these things he says to do, and we'll trust him to take care of us. Our faith is what makes us overcomers. Because we can know all these things, but not have the faith to do it. We have to have faith to just say, I'm going to believe God that he's going to take care of me, and I'm not going to be burdened down. I'm going to be an overcomer. We overcome the world by our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? How are you going to overcome the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So what's he telling us here? Only believers can be overcomers. The rest of the world better worry. They better be burdened down. Because this is the best they're ever going to have it here. But believers overcome the world. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and we obey God's commands. He will take care of us, and that gives us victory and makes us an overcomer of the world. So that when we walk out of this place tonight or get up tomorrow morning, we don't let anything out there overcome us because we believe God. And we are his children, and we are overcomers, and he will take care of us. So we leave there feeling very lighter tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your great love for us. And we thank you that we're overcomers. Help us, Lord, to have faith in your word. What you say is true. And to be obeyed. Strengthen our faith. Help us, Lord, to just know that you love us and will take care of us. Please help us to not take any burdens upon ourselves. No pressures. You haven't made us that way to do that, Lord. It will kill us. We pray tonight that we've lightened the load. Let it go. And that we're just trusting you now. You to take care of us. Handle every need in our life. And Lord, we pray that the love of God in our heart would just flow out to other people and they would see we are different and that we love them. Help us to love other Christians, even though they might not be just like us, Lord. And if we're having a problem with anyone, convict our heart tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to change and to reflect you and to not be aggravated, but to be encouraged that you want to share your love through them and we have the power to do it. Help us, Lord. And as we worship you now, let us just sense your presence here and truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Here we are, singing to the Almighty God. What a wonderful privilege. We pray that you're blessed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.